Brendan O'Connor on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Need expert advice on your family's health? Speak to us today at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
We're going to move on. Martina Cox, good morning.
Good morning, Brendan.
And Martina, it's coming up to the 6-year anniversary of the attack on your husband, Sean Cox, outside Anfield Stadium before a Liverpool game. And people will know that Sean was left with brain injuries that changed his life and all your lives completely, really. I think, did it change you as a person as well? Because I saw your brother-in-law, Peter, saying that he used to see you before the attack on Sean. He saw you as a very shy, quiet, kind of private person. And then that after the attack, he saw a fighter.
I kind of had to change it. You know, Sean had no voice. You know, I became Sean's advocate, I suppose. So, and I had to fight for a lot of things for Sean. So, yeah, it probably did change me.
Yeah. You know. I want to talk a little bit today about care and carers and all of that. And there you go. The first thing you say is that everybody who is thrust in usually to a situation of care straight away, the fight starts. And I think as well, the carers possibly got a bad rap around the referendum recently and everything. There was a lot of kind of slightly negative vibes around them. Did you take matters into your own hands recently regarding Sean's care setup?
I did. After Sean's home 4 years, and we've had 40 carers in 4 years.
Okay.
And it's just been like a revolving door. Now, the care was good, but it just was very inconsistent. And I suppose Sean's care is for life. You know, this isn't something that's going to last, you know, a couple of years. This is for the long term. Please God, Sean will be here for a long time. So I just had to kind of change things because, you know, I needed consistency for Sean. Like somebody with a brain injury, they really need consistency. And like we could have had maybe 6 or 7 carers or 8 in a week.
And in and out, like, yeah.
In and out, yeah, like, yeah. It literally was like a revolving door in the house. So, you know, I basically set up my own company, a care company for Sean, and the HSE pay the money directly to me, and I just manage the whole thing. Now, I have obviously, I got a lot of help and support setting it up. But basically, you know, I employ the carers directly. I also have there's a clinical nurse manager that works with us as well. So, but it's a much smaller team and it's working really well, which is great.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know, now there are going to be people all over the country thinking, I want to do that. Like there has been always an argument that just give people the resources that you're going to spend, give it to the people and they will spend it better and more efficiently. And I imagine you probably do manage that, do you?
Yeah, well, it's just, yeah. But it's about, you know, it's about the people. It's got to be the right people for Sean. You know, it's a smaller team. You know, we've got 3 full-time carers. I think we only had 1 full-time carer. So it means they spend more time with Sean. They know Sean better and, you know, are kind of really clued into his whole, you know, his day and what has to be done.
Yeah. So I imagine it's very important for him that there is a rapport and a relationship. I presume that's what enables him to kind of thrive and
connect.
That's it.
That is it. Yeah. And I can, you know, I mean, obviously, you know, I've seen so many. I nearly know myself. But I had the opportunity of being able to select the people that I wanted. Like, it's very different for somebody with a brain injury because they have to be able to. Communication is key for Sean, you know, that somebody can communicate well. And obviously trust is huge because I'm entrusting them. Like, I go out to work and I'm entrusting that everything is going to be the way I want it to be and the way it should be for Sean, you know?
Yeah. So tell me about communication. So Sean understands everything.
Yeah, he understands everything, but like he can't, you know, he can't verbalise. He's nonverbal. So, you know, it needs to be very clear communication. Like we did try assistive technology, but unfortunately with Sean's sight, like he has probably got double vision, sometimes treble vision. You know what I mean? It's just it's not going to work. But we just kind of, you know, we move on from that. We don't kind of delve and say, oh God, you know, this what are we going to do? You know,
yeah.
We actually, you know, he does speech and language twice a week. You know, he works with, you know, gestures. He's writing. His drawing actually has improved as well. So, you know, there's ways of communicating with Sean. But once the communication verbally is very concise, he understands what you're saying.
Okay. So really, a carer comes in that situation. It's quite a sophisticated thing they have to do, which is to start understanding his rhythms and yeah. where he's at,
yeah.
and to kind of come into that space with him a bit. Yeah.
Yeah. No, they pretty much need to know. Yeah. You have to get to, like, it takes time to get to know Sean, and, you know, the way he is, the way he communicates, you know. Things can be tricky. Like, if Sean is sick, that's when it gets a little bit trickier, because he can't verbalise. And when he gets sick, he gets weak in himself. So, you know, but now that I've got these new carers that are, you know, they're really getting to know Sean, they're picking up on things much quicker, and they're kind of going, gosh, you know, he's not right at the minute. We need to watch him, whatever.
Okay. Can it be hard to know exactly what's going on with him? That must be a frustration.
It is when he's sick,
definitely
when he's sick. Like, he wasn't well this week, and we were just trying to figure it out, but we did figure it out, and he's fine.
Yeah.
You know.
Is routine presumably very important?
Routine is absolutely, it's kind of key to Sean, you know, and, you know, stimulation, very much so, you know.
So what's the day?
Well, the day is, you know, obviously carers come in, get Sean up, he has breakfast, you know, and he'll always be given choices. Like, it's not a case of, right, this is what you're having. It's like, do you want tea or coffee? Do you want, you know, what cereal do you want? All that kind of thing. He'll either have speech and language in the morning, then he'll need a rest. Fatigue is huge with a brain injury. So Sean will need to have like an hour's rest. He'll get up and he'll have lunch. He may have physio in the afternoon. So he kind of does two things in a day.
Okay. And does he go at it with determination?
Yeah, he does. Yeah. Now, he has days where he's kind of more tired, you know.
Yeah.
But in general, even yesterday, he wasn't great. But he went out to DCU and he was in the exoskeleton, and he'd done 1,041 steps, which is the equivalent of a 5K for the rest of us. So.
So
he's quite determined, you know.
Yeah, but equally, like all of us, there must be days where he goes, I'm sick of having to struggle so hard for everything.
Well, if he's like that, he'll kind of, you know, he'll start waving his hands and he's like, you know, I'm done. You know, sometimes he will do that in physio. Now, we do like to push him.
Yeah.
That's my role, you know. But but he rests at the weekend. Like, that's it, you know. He has his chill time. And, you know, and in the evening as well, obviously.
When you said that's your role, it's a tricky thing, isn't it? The role of somebody, when someone is your husband and you love them as a wife, and then you're a carer as well. Like, when you come home from work, you're into carer mode then. Is it a hard thing to square?
I kind of don't see myself as the carer, but I do that role, but like, it is difficult, but you just kind of, you know, this is our new life now, and we just kind of get on with it, you know. It's a case of having to, you know. I don't see it that way. I still see myself as being Sean's wife, and, you know, I still love him, he still loves me, and then there's the caring part that just has to be done. But I do, like, you know, obviously we like to push him and encourage him, and, you know, and that's, I mean, he is the way he is, I think, because of, he's had a lot of encouragement, and, you know, he's been stimulated a lot, and that's what works.
Yeah, yeah. Can we talk a little bit about the history of the care? So you moved to Sheffield for a while after the attack. Why was that?
I moved to Sheffield because Sean was in the NRH, and you only get a certain amount of time there. And, you know, Sean wasn't ready to go home by a long shot. So we had no choice, because there is nothing else after the NRH. So with the help of like a physio, and we had like a case manager, we went over to the UK and had a look. We actually looked kind of in the kind of Manchester, kind of Sheffield area, and we went to see four or five different kind of rehab facilities, and we picked this particular one, and Sean went there for like 4 months, and it was probably the best thing that I had done, I went with Sean. I moved into like an Airbnb right beside where Sean was. And I kind of learned a lot. You know, I learned a lot about rehab, you know, about routine, what the day, you know, what his day would consist of. And I kind of adapted that principle to home, because our house was under construction at the time anyway. So it all kind of, we kind of done it in that sense as well.
Yeah.
You know, and we built a gym, because I could see, I kind of had the vision then of, right, this will actually work. Well, I knew Sean was always coming home anyway, you know, but he needed that rehab. And then I knew he was going to have to continue the rehab when he got home.
Yeah. But if you had just sat back and taken what was on offer there and not been, like, that's quite proactive to move to another country and do all that. For most people who aren't going to do it, they're not going to get optimum care, are they?
No, you won't. You won't. I mean, I had to do it because, I knew it was the right thing to do for Sean. Like, while he was in the NRH for, you know, I think he was there for 8 or 9 months, it wasn't enough. Like, I seen people in the rehab facility in Sheffield, and they were there for a year or two, you know. So, and Sean was there for, as I said, for 4 months. I would have loved to keep him there longer, but to be honest with you, I had to get home. My kids were at home. They were actually living in a rented house at the time while our other house was under construction. So I kind of feel we need
to... How old were the kids at that stage?
Jack had turned 21. Shauna was 20, and Emma was actually in fifth year in secondary, so she hadn't even done her leaving cert.
Yeah.
So
even on a practical level, it's a whole family project and disruption, isn't it?
It was chaotic. I look back at some of the photos and I actually think, how did we do this?
Yeah.
But we did.
yeah. You said you always knew he was coming home. I presume there were people saying to you, look, you know, don't bring him home, like.
I mean, my memories of Beaumont were tricky, because there was a particular person that kept handing me out brochures of nursing homes repeatedly, and I repeatedly told her, Sean's not going to a nursing home, and she was like, you need, you know, this is the only option for Sean. And I was like, I'm sorry, but Sean is coming home.
Why?
Why
were you so definite on that?
Because, you know, I mean, the family unit, you know. Yeah. I didn't know what was ahead of me. I actually didn't really know, but I just knew that I wanted him home, and the kids, that we'd always kind of said, no matter what, we'll deal with it. And we did deal with it, you know.
Yeah.
And we are dealing with it, you know.
But there would have been a view from the, quotes, experts, like, that a person in Sean's situation, what happens now is they go in and become basically a patient kind of in one of these places, live out their days. And you even talk about his choices, about breakfast and all that kind of thing. That's all part of it too, isn't it? Having the agency to live his life. Clearly you feel that's very important.
Hugely important, hugely important. You know, like, you know, Sean's at home and it is our home. There's care going on. But it's, you know, if anyone comes in, you don't, like, it's not clinical. It's very much a normal house. We've just got wider doors and, you know, it's very much open plan. And that's the way, you know, I always wanted it to be, as normal as possible.
Yeah. In terms of the day-to-day relationship outside of the care then, how does Sean communicate with you? How do you express that kind of love you have for each other and all of that kind of thing?
He's a great hugger, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, is he? Yeah.
Yeah. You know, we just, you know, I mean, we still, you know, like, I will go, you know, Sean, the carers put Sean to bed at night. So I will go in, like, at night and sit with him, and we'll watch whatever's on, you know.
Yeah.
There's a lot of sport on in our house.
Yeah.
He is very, you know, he loves the sport, as we all know. But, like, we'll watch, you know, Sean loves, he actually loves comedy. Like, he'd be giggling watching some of the, you know, loves a laugh, you know. So we still have it's different, but, you know, we just make the most of the situation we have.
Martina, you're doing what most marriages in the country are based on, watching television together in the evening, so there's nothing unusual
about
that.
You know, a glass of wine, you know. Yes, we probably don't go out as much as we did, but we do. We've started to go, you know, like, we go out with friends, you know, we can go out for dinner. You just have to obviously plan things more. As in, you know, is this wheelchair accessible?
Yeah.
You know, all that kind of thing.
Is that still unusual if you're trying to go out in Ireland, wheelchair accessibility? So. You can't take that for granted, no?
You can't. I mean, one of Sean's favourite restaurants in Dunboyne is actually upstairs and there's no lift, so we can't go there.
Yeah.
We can get a takeaway, but not quite the same.
And he likes a pint and a...
He likes a pint, and yeah, glass of wine, likes his, you know, cocktails when he's on his holidays.
Yeah. And he enjoys being around convivial situations, obviously.
He does.
Surf along in the conviviality.
Yeah.
And you still go on holidays?
We do. We go to Portugal, which is where we always went, but we just go to a slightly different place. It's actually, it's called Able to Holidays, and it's basically this lady who has a villa and she rents downstairs and it has everything.
Oh, fantastic.
Ramps. It has the electric bed. It has a hoist if you need it. It has, shower chair, everything that is needed. So it just makes it that much easier. But it's lovely. It's really nice. There's a pool. We got Sean into the pool the first time we were over, which was great. And then we go out. We just go out at night, bring Sean out for dinner and, you know. It's just a slightly different scenario to what we had before.
Yeah, yeah. But the scenario you were thinking of before, I know, is just before the accident, you were going to buy that place in Portugal, weren't you? It is like another life in a way, isn't it?
It is. It is. But I suppose, we're living it differently, but we're still doing things, you know.
Yeah.
There's no point in burying your head in the sand. You just have to get on with it because... that's what kind of life has thrown us, you know.
I'd say most people are thinking they'd be way angrier than you are, though. You've an extraordinary lack of bitterness about it all.
I don't see any point because, you know, at the end of the day, I suppose the buck stops at me and my family, and we just have to, you know, we're just trying to make new memories, I suppose, you know.
Yeah. And the kids, do they get angry?
No.
Everyone's on board with
everyone's on board, this is life now.
This
is life, yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, we go on holidays and, you know, like Sean has a big birthday next year. I have a big birthday next year. We're kind of planning, right, what are we going to do for that? We'll probably go away. There will be a lot of planning involved in it, but we'll do something nice, you know.
Okay. So everything's that bit more of a project.
Yeah.
I saw you meeting Jurgen Klopp a few weeks ago, and I know he's leaving Liverpool now, but I know Liverpool FC have been great, but Klopp in particular, he does seem really heartfelt in his kind of support of you and his warmth towards Sean.
Very genuine, absolutely, yeah. I mean, I think he was slightly gobsmacked when he seen Sean standing up, you know.
Yeah.
He got quite emotional, actually.
Yeah.
You know.
What is it about Sean that has kind of... attracted people to him and to his story? And
I think it's because it could have been anybody. Sean was just a very ordinary person. He was in the right place at the right time. A lot of people say Sean was in the wrong place. You know, Sean was walking down that road and those guys came along, you know, and attacked him. But it could have been anybody. And so many people have reached out to me and said, I was there, I was... a couple of yards away, that could have been me, you know. So I think that's kind of what resonates with people.
That life.
Yeah.
In those split seconds.
Yeah.
You got a phone call.
I did, yeah. I got a phone call and, it was actually my sister-in-law that rang me to say that they'd been trying to contact Martin, who was with Sean, and she couldn't get him. And then very soon after that, I got a call from, it was actually the Aintree Hospital, which is right beside the Walton Centre, to say that Sean had got a hit in the head and he was on his way into surgery and that it was, you know, pretty much, you know, the next 24 hours were going to be very crucial.
And so you knew everything was changing then?
Yeah, just pack your bag. I don't know. I don't even know who booked the flights. We just were gone the next morning and then... it was just very surreal, you know, seeing him lying there in a coma. It's just, it was awful.
Yeah. Is the anniversary hard?
It's a date that I'll never forget. But again, we don't really dwell on it. We just kind of brush it aside, I suppose, in a way, you know.
Yeah. I think sometimes awful things can give a real clarity on life and what and who is important as well, though, can it? I'd say you have great clarity in what's important to you.
I do, and I don't, I don't really sweat the little things anymore. I kind of, when I hear people giving out or moaning about little things, I'm like kind of under my breath saying, you've little to be worried about, you know. Just, you know, get on with life and, you know, be grateful for what you have. Like, Sean is still alive. He's not the same person. You know, life has changed for us all, but we're just getting on with it, you know. And try, you know, for his sake as well. Like, he's had a really traumatic time, you know, of it, you know.
Do you think in general, is he okay with things and kind of in some kind of okay form?
I think he is, yeah.
He's not sitting there stewing.
No, he's not. Yeah. No, he's not. But, you know, you have to, he needs to be kept busy, you know. And when I say, like, stimulated, if you just sit Sean there, like, and just put him under the TV and not do anything else, that's not good for him. He needs to be out and about, meeting people, you know, doing things like the rest of us, you know.
Yeah.
Some kind of normality, I suppose, for him.
Yeah. Okay, Martina, it's an extraordinary story, really, and how you're going about it. But I go back to where we started. There are people all over the country now going, I want to set up a care company and control this situation. Because the carers do become kind of almost part of the family in the ideal scenario, don't they? It's a very intimate situation.
Yeah, like one of the carers, she was actually in the photograph with Jürgen Klopp. Justina, she's with us 3 years now. And, like, she's amazing with John.
Yeah.
You know, and she has that empathy that she's just really good with him.
And yeah. And as you say, it's such a special thing that she is doing and so important. You trust.
Trust, like, is huge, yeah.
For you to be able to walk out the door and trust.
Yeah, knowing that everything is going to be okay, yeah.
Okay, well, listen, give our best to Sean, Martina Cox. Thank you very much. We'll take a break.